Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he reigns victorious. Over sin, over death, over wrong, over us, victorious.
In Deuteronomy 28, sometimes I speak some of these things over you, and it's just good to know that we're blessed, and these are the blessings that God declares in the Old Testament. Now, always remember that we live on this side of the cross, and anytime you're looking in the Old Testament, filter all that you read through the cross. And come over here on this side of after Jesus, because God dealt with people differently in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. However, the Word tells us that we have a better covenant, the new covenant, the new way that God relates and connects with people. We have a new covenant, and it's based on better promises. So anytime you can find something good that God's doing in the Old Testament, we have that and then some. Even better than that. Is that exciting? So I like to read this because it just reminds me that God has good stuff for his ancient people, and he has good stuff on this side of the cross for his New Testament people. And it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all that's commanded here, God will set you high up above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Well, that's good. And blessed shall you be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of your sheep. So that's your kids, and your stuff, and your cattle, and your livestock, and your business. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's in the Bible. You thought I made that up when I speak that over you. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face, and they'll come out one way and flee away seven ways, and the Lord shall command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord God will give you, and the Lord will establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord and be fearful and of you, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, and the land which the Lord will give you. Verse 12, and the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain unto your land in its season, to bless the works of your hands, and you shall lend and not borrow, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command you this day, to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from them these words which I command you, to the right nor to the left, to serve other gods, and so on. But those blessings are just a reminder that God wants us to be blessed, not just spiritually. See, because I mentioned earlier, raised in church, and we thought God wanted us to be blessed spiritually, but not necessarily in other ways. And but Abraham, Galatians 3, tells us that if we're Christ, then we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to Abraham's promise. And Abraham's promise was a full blessing. First of all, God's going to be friends with Abraham. Of course, this Abraham was before the law was ever given. Are you with me? And so Abraham had connection, relationship with God. And God said, I'm going to be your friend. And Abraham responded to God by faith, and so God was pleased in that. So we're like Abraham because we connect with God by faith and not by our performance or our works or the sacrifice of some animal on an annual basis, but just by faith we receive him and believe his word, and we have relationship with him. And God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. So he was blessed in personally and spiritually. He was blessed in his relationship. He was blessed financially. The Bible says that God made Abraham very rich in cattle and silver and gold. So it wasn't just rich in the spiritual blessings, but he was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold. And he was an abundant giver. He had a generous spirit. And so all the things that are our inheritance, that God wants us to be blessed, that he wants us to freely receive in every way so that we can freely give, he wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing, that all started with Abraham. Now, everyone say blessed. Okay, so what I want to talk to you about today, the title of my message, if you're up there listening to me, is, here's the title. I can't wait to hear it myself. And the Lord will give me something to say here in a minute once I tell you the title. Reversing the curse by releasing the blessing. Now, a lot of ministers are very fascinated by and focus on, and I can think of one ministry, their whole ministry is about curses. It's their whole ministry. And I'm not necessarily critical of it, I just don't get it. And I'm not interested. I'm glad God gave someone else that ministry, because I would go sell life insurance or something if he gave me the ministry of talking about curses all the time. I wouldn't be interested in that. But they, you know, why curses and how the curses break through and family curses and generational curses, and they're just all about the curses. And here's what I think. I think we are under spiritual attack. The scripture says, be sober, be vigilant. We have an adversary who's seeking to devour. There are spiritual darkness that tries to invade our lives, and curses are, I mean, that stuff is real. The work of the enemy against us is real. But I think focusing on that is not the best way to deal with curses. I think if we will release blessing and focus on the blessing, that the curses will fall away. So let's look some Proverbs 10:22. I'll just quote it to you. It says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. Psalm 91, which we looked at last week, let's turn there just for a moment. And we talked about, and we made a determination last week, that we are going to contend to live in the secret place of the Most High, and we're going to abide and dwell in under the shadow of the Almighty, and that we're going to practice His presence in our lives and just contend to live in that awareness on an ongoing basis. And so even whatever's going on around us, and no matter how loud it gets, that we're going to live in that place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we're not just camping. We're not just visiting occasionally. It's our dwelling place. We abide there. And if you're not living that, I'm not fully 100% of the time, but I'm contending for that. Just to walk in an awareness of His grace and mercy that is in me and on me and around me in every way. I'm surrounded by it and filled with it. And then he begins to say some of the blessings. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and He is my fortress. He is my God, and Him will I trust. And He'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. And His truth shall be your shield and buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. And it goes on to declare those blessings. And so I think that's a great way to overcome curses and trouble and problems and hassles. Ephesians 4:27, the Apostle Paul says, neither give place to the devil. And so we have the authority in Jesus' name. Jesus said these very interesting words, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You go, therefore, preach, teach, and heal. So he gave us authority to use his name and to go impose his will in our world. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have authority over the enemy. I want you to just turn and tell someone, I have authority over the devil. I have authority over the enemy. I have authority over the enemy. Jesus said, all power is given to me, so you go, therefore, in my name. So I want us to look at an interesting story in Numbers chapter 22. And in Numbers chapter 22, it says here, the verse 1, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho, and Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company is going to whip us and lick us all up or consume us, just like the ox licks the grass. And he sent messengers, therefore, to Balaam, the son of Beor, which is by the river, the land of the children of his people. And they called him, and they said, behold, there's a people come from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. They're on their way. And come now, therefore, I pray, and curse these people. So they're trying to hire this prophet to curse these people. I have no further comment. Come now, therefore, and curse these people, for they are too mighty for me, peradventure that I'll prevail, that we might smite them and I might drive them out of the land. I want that he whom you blessed is blessed, and he whom you cursed is cursed. The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed, and then they came back again. But what I want you to see here, to move on down, we won't read all this whole story, but they were sort of relentless about asking Balaam to curse these people, and they offered him a lot of money. They said, hey, we'll give you a lot of money to put a curse on these people. And it says in verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray, hinder from coming unto me, for I'll promote you to a great place of great honor, and I'll do whatever you say. Come, therefore, I pray, and curse these people. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me this whole house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or to do more. So God, you can't curse people who God has declared are blessed. Amen. And you know what God has declared about you? Amen. You're blessed. And so can we open the door to the enemy and those kinds of things? Yes, but you are the blessed of heaven. You're not the cursed trying to get blessed. You're the blessed resisting the enemy. Yes. And you have authority to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so it is important that we reverse any curse by releasing the blessing and focusing on the blessing and talking about the blessing and meditating on the blessing and rehearsing the blessing and just being people that are walking in blessing. Are you with me? All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. So we know there are many applications to that, but it's important for us to know that anything the enemy tries to do, God's better. His goodness is better than the devil's badness. So I want to talk about how we release the blessing, and we'll just talk about three things today. First of all, and that is to speak the blessing, to speak the blessing. I'm the blessed of heaven. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. So on your way out, if something looks like it's, it looks like it might rain, and you didn't want it to rain, I'm blessed going out, or whatever. If circumstances or situations arise, or someone gives you a sour look, they're coming in and you're going out, you just say, well, I'm blessed going out. I was blessed coming in, blessed going out. I have to just, that's felt kind of ugly and nasty, but I'm just going to maintain my victory and speaking the blessings over yourself. And so I got in, Pastor Sarah, Dr. Sarah, on Thursday night, is that somebody that could really turn that off? Seriously? Does someone over there know your cell phone is keeps ringing or making noises? I have a hammer in my car. I could turn it off. Turn it off for you. I repair all things with a hammer. So if it can't be fixed with a hammer, don't bring it to me. But you can fix anything with a hammer once. All right. Speaking the blessing. So Thursday night, I got in my message on the importance of word and the power of words, and it was excellent, I have to tell you. I enjoyed hearing it myself. But we have to speak the blessing. And when trouble comes, we need to have something to say. What's your mouth full of? Is it full of faith? Is it full of victory? Is it full of blessing? Or is it full of, oh, I knew this was going to happen, and sour words, unbelieving words? Our mouth, the word of faith is in our mouth. And that word of faith that we speak, the Bible says. And so it is important to speak and to declare the blessings of heaven over our lives, and not to be ashamed to just speak the word and speak the blessings. And the word says, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And the word says, I can do all things through Christ. And the word says, he'll supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the word says, and just declare the blessings of heaven, even when it seems like the enemy is trying to encroach in your life. Number two, be a person of prayer. And I especially think when the enemy's trying to invade into our lives, what feels like a curse, or just can't shake this, or it feels like something that's lingering, or not just an issue that we can kind of deal with in ourselves, but it's something that comes, this spiritual attack, that we pray, and particularly pray in the Spirit. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, in 1 Corinthians, first of all, 1 Corinthians 12 is a great chapter about how all of us are called to fit in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, and declares that we all have gifts and that we all have graces on our lives and that we fit in the body where it pleases our Father, and he likes where he put us, and he wants us to function there with anointing and grace and supernatural ability. And 1 Corinthians 12 is wonderful and encourages believers to step into their place in the body of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 13, which of course Paul was just writing a letter, he didn't write it in chapters, but 1 Corinthians, how we've divided it, 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul instructs that Corinthian church, because that was a spirit-empowered church, but they were a little bit full of themselves sometimes, and there was some spiritual pride and haughtiness. And so he wanted to help them with that. So first he comes with encouragement. Hey, you're doing good. You fit in. You belong. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. That's not wise. Don't discount other people. Don't discount yourself. But everyone step into your place in the body of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 13, make sure everything you do based on love. Amen. Let the foundation for all ministry be the foundation of love. Are you with me?
Yep.
And gives that great encouragement for God's people to be lovers. Jesus was moved with compassion, and compassion and love should be the motivating force in our lives. I remember one time years ago, I was brushing my teeth, as is my custom. And I was brushing my teeth, and I set the toothpaste tube down on the counter. And I happened to look at the words on the toothpaste tube on the backside. And it said, active ingredient, sodium monofluorophosphate. And it just caught my interest. I never took chemistry in high school or college, and so I thought, I wonder what that means. And so we had a chemist in the church. His name was Henry. And so I called Henry, and I just general knowledge question, really. I said, hey, I'm brushing my teeth, Henry, and I saw this toothpaste tube, and it says, active ingredient, sodium monofluorophosphate. And I said, what does that mean? Because I've heard the term active ingredient before. And he said, well, the active ingredient in the toothpaste, there are lots of ingredients in there. Some of them flavor, the mint flavor, the paste itself to get it on your toothbrush. But he said the active ingredient is the ingredient in the toothpaste that makes toothpaste do what it's supposed to do. So that's cool. There are a lot of other ingredients, but the active ingredient is what makes toothpaste do what it's supposed to do. So for each of us, we have a lot of ingredients. Our personality is an ingredient. Your upbringing is an ingredient. Your experiences, though, that's part of the ingredient. A lot of ingredients in us, but the active ingredient should be love for people. So for some people, the active ingredient is, I hope someone notices me. So the active ingredient gets messed up, and it makes ineffective. If the sodium monofluorophosphate were missing from the toothpaste, it might taste the same. It might make your breath feel a little fresher. And the number one reason people brush their teeth is to freshen their breath. And should be to prevent cavities, but we brush our teeth to keep our breath fresh. And if the active ingredient is wrong, even though it might look the same and taste the same and squeeze out of the tube the same, it won't be as effective as if the active ingredient is the active ingredient. Are you with me? So the active ingredient has to be love. And so that's what he talked about in 1 Corinthians 13. Then 1 Corinthians 14, he said, when you move in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he gives some great guidelines in 1 Corinthians 14, do everything decently and in order. He reminds us that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And so people who feel like they just can't control themselves, that the Holy Spirit has just taken them completely over, he says, no, that you, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Let all things be done unto edifying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, don't let people leave thinking you're crazy. So that's why at Victory Christian Center, we believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in prophetic ministry. We believe in miracles. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in laying hands on the sick. We believe in all those things, but we try to gently instruct and teach and train people about why we do those things, that those are things in the Scripture. It's not some wild thing that we just dreamed up out in the back somewhere. But in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, Paul says, I'll pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray in the understanding. And I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll sing in the understanding. So first of all, we declare God's word. We release blessing by declaring God's word. And then it is important for us to pray in the Spirit and to pray in the understanding, to sing in the Spirit and to sing in the understanding. And so when we're praying against the onslaught of hell, always good to pray. It's good to pray the word, but it's also good to pray in the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul says, when we know what we should pray for, but we don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will help us to pray the perfect will of God. And when we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying out, the Scripture says we're praying out mysteries, things that even bypass our own minds. But when we're praying in the Spirit, we're connecting with the Holy Spirit and His leadership and guidance in prayer, and great things happen when you pray in the Spirit. Now, if you would say, I don't know what that means, praying in the Spirit, and of course, all through the book of Acts, starting in Acts chapter 2, the initial sending of the Holy Spirit is recorded. Everyone gathered there. They had this heavenly language. The Spirit prayed in tongues, and that is a gift for every believer. So if anyone ever said, well, it's just for some people and not for everyone, no, that beautiful prayer language is for every believer. You may not have tongues and interpretation, the gift of tongues and interpretation to minister to other people, but for our personal walk with God, all of us should be Spirit-empowered and have and release our prayer language. Every believer should walk in that. So that part of the Holy Spirit's release of a prayer language is for every believer, not just for some. Now, other gifts are as the Spirit wills, and like tongues and interpretation, that might be for some people. You might have a gift of another gift, or maybe you have a word of knowledge, or maybe you have the Lord seems to use you in a word of wisdom or prophetic words or those kinds of things, or some people have a healing anointing, but you may not have that gift of tongues and interpretation found in 1 Corinthians 12 there, but we all can have that beautiful prayer language and pray in the Spirit. And so that's why Paul said, I will do that. He didn't say, as the Lord wills. He said, I'll pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray in the understanding, and I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll sing in the understanding. And so we just need to make that same determination that we'll pray with our understanding, and we'll pray in the Spirit. And we'll sing with our understanding. We'll even put words on the board, and we'll sing in the Spirit. Yes. And we won't put words on the board when we sing in the Spirit, because that comes from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And then thirdly, the third thing I want to talk to you about when we're talking about reversing curses is to apply the blood of Jesus. See, if there is a curse, that curse stops when the blood of Jesus is received and applied to our lives by faith. We have a new bloodline. How is a curse going to come across the blood of Jesus? And so the shed blood of Jesus Christ was for the redemption of humankind. And God's not willing that any should perish. That was for every person. And we want to tell as many people as we can about that great gift and hope that they will receive it. Now, they don't have to. It's people's choice whether they receive that great gift or not. But I hope you have, and if you've not, today's your day, because I want you to go to heaven with us, and that's how you get there. You don't get there by being a really good person and, gee, they served the community and worked at the food bank for years. They must be in heaven. No, we go to heaven because we've said yes to Jesus. That's how we get there. So important for us to tell. And sometimes good people who do good things and they're really nice people and kind people and good people and feel really good about eternity, they're the ones that have the hardest time hearing that all of that is wonderful. God bless you for it. But that's not your ticket. Are you all here? Hello. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. So making an application, and I remember John Osteen used to talk, plead the blood, plead the blood, plead the blood, and so maybe you've heard that, and so I don't know if we have to use those words. The church I grew up in, they pretty much thought you had to use those words, but we, by faith, dip our faith into that beautiful shed blood and apply it, just like in the deliverance of God's people, the Lord's instruction when they were going to be delivered from Egypt was when the last plague was going to pass over Egypt, so cause them to release God's people, was to kill a lamb and eat the lamb, but to take the blood of the lamb and dip hyssop in Exodus, and dip hyssop and apply it to the doorpost and the side posts of their home and stay under the blood, because protection was under the blood. If they went outside, then they were out from under the protection. So we keep ourselves under the blood. And so like God's ancient people dipped hyssop and applied the blood, we dip our faith and apply the blood to our lives. And then we stay under that protection, because under that protection of the blood, we're blessed. Outside now, if you choose, there might be stuff out there that's not that pleasant. But we stay under the blood of Jesus, and we say, no, we reverse any curse. We're reversing the curse by releasing the blessing. We speak those blessings. We declare His word, we declare His will, and we speak those blessings. We are people of prayer, and we pray in our understanding, and we pray in the Spirit. And I'll tell you that when you get in the habit of praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues, I pray in a lot all day, every day, throughout the day. And in the shower, I pray in the Spirit. When I'm driving, I pray in the Spirit. And one time I had been by myself a lot and had been praying in the Spirit for a long time, you know, for several weeks. And I got in a car with someone else they went to another church that theologically believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I don't know how they practice it. Because I'd been to that church. It's a Pentecostal denomination church, but I don't know how it was practiced. Anyway, so I started praying in the Spirit and gave the guy whiplash. I caught myself. So sorry. Well, I wasn't really sorry for praying in the Spirit. I was just sorry to freak him out. So, and then apply the blood. Dip the faith of God that's in your heart and apply the blood of Jesus. Because the blood is the delineating line between God's blessings and the curses at the end.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.